Most of my work around the country is on involving the whole school community, largely in BSF projects at the minute, but not entirely. And my first thought with schools is always be as inclusive as possible, stretch the net as widely as possible when you're thinking about your stakeholders. And I think schools who do that tend to get a much better result. So the first thing to do is to just kind of brainstorm who the people you want to work with through this process are, and also to understand your own community, because every school community is different, and to understand who makes up that community and to be as specific as possible. So my experience kind of tells you that working in different schools in different ways is really helpful. So we've worked, for example, with groups of younger children in schools, and then gone and talked to older children. And their views about the schools are entirely different. So younger children have different views about security, about safety in schools, about places where they may feel that bullying can take place. Older children have a different set of concerns. In other instances, we've worked with collective groups across the years where that's worked incredibly well, because the younger children tend to be very excited, very vibrant, very creative. There's something about their ability to think very laterally, and the older children tend to be more inhibited, but perhaps more thoughtful, more mature, and they tend to work well together. So I think understanding your own community and how they're going to work well together and what you want to get from them is a really critical piece of the work. And in terms of being inclusive as well, we ask schools to think very widely about not just the people in their schools, staff and pupils, but also, and governors obviously, but also the people around their schools. So users of the school building outside of school hours and during school hours, local residents, local media, local agencies. I mean, now with the extended schools agenda, obviously, trying to bring together pots of money, trying to bring together services around school buildings is absolutely critical. So trying to engage all of those people. And I think there's incredibly little evidence, actually, frighteningly little evidence, that new school buildings make a difference to standards. But there's a lot of evidence starting to gather from people like the OECD, from people like Schoolworks, from people like the Design Council, that the process by which you design a school is very important. It allows you to fundamentally rethink everything you do. It allows you to create ownership. It allows you to create buy-in. It allows you to deliver your vision in a new and exciting way. And that's the thing that's actually making a difference, and that's the thing which is contributing to a rising standards in new schools. So I think trying to be as inclusive as possible from the various early stages of a school design project is really important. And we've worked with everyone basically that you can think of. So we've worked with early years students, we've worked with primary, secondary and special school children. And I always think that everyone should be able to contribute, and if they can't, then it's our fault for not finding a way that enables them to do that. So I think it's very important that you start with the assumption that everyone should have a view and be able to input that view. It's just about finding the right way to enable that to happen. So we've talked a lot today, I think, in the various sessions there's been on this stand about vision, educational vision, ICT vision, all kinds of visions out there. It's really interesting when I go out and start working with schools and local authorities, particularly around BSF, about who owns the vision and who shares the vision. And often they're really quite different things. So I've gone to many places where people will say to me, oh, but that vision's the local authority's vision and we don't really understand it or buy into it. Or people in schools will say, well, it's the head teacher's vision and I really don't understand it or buy into it. And I think the benefit of a process, for example, like Building Schools for the Future, is that you can almost start again and say, okay, how are we going to create a vision which everyone can buy into, everyone can share, and everyone can actually understand what it means? And I think in education, we're incredibly good, because we've had to be, at being able to write things like vision statements on the back of an envelope, you know, at 20 minutes notice to get some funding. And I think that's actually made many of us in education, you know, not actually think about the things that we're writing. BSF, of course, is trying to do more than that. It's trying to create visions which are transformational and, you know, which are long-term and much more detailed. But I think we've always got to be a little sceptical about things like vision statements in terms of, are they actually going to make a difference in themselves? Probably they're not. But people's understanding of them, people's ability to say, oh, I understand, you know, I can see how my my role in that is actually effective is very important as well. So again, we say that the participation process is a really, really good way to get your vision right, to be able to kind of encourage people to understand what it means and their part to play in it as well. So again, we've done things like when I was working with Schoolworks, we did a big design festival in Bradford. We held it in an art gallery. I don't think the art gallery quite knew what they were signing up to when they let us in, but you know, and it was open to the public the whole time. And we had something like 150 pupils, staff, parents, community come in. We ran 40 workshops in 2 days, and members of the public were coming in at the same time to view the art. And so we had wonderful instances of, you know, grannies with their shopping coming in to look at the art club's work. And we'd kidnap them and say, come and join us, you know, come and see what we're doing with the schools in Bradford, come and join in. And they got really involved, and I think that's, you know, one way to kind of start to say to people, okay, well, there are these high-level statements, but what do they mean in practice, and what do they mean to us in our school, and how can we deliver them? And I think absolutely critical, anyone who's working on a school design project, we say get the brief right. Make sure that if you're in a school, you can articulate what it is that you want the new building to do in a way that the designers will understand. So I was working with one school recently, the secondary school, and they said, we want a wow factor. And you see this a lot, I think, in briefs, particularly in BSF. We want a wow factor for our new school. And I said to them, I have no idea what that means. You know, it could mean something completely different to me than it means to you. And they were fantastic. They went away, did their homework, wrote an essay for me. And the next time we met, they had 3 pages of statements which described what they wanted the school to be like in terms of the wow factor. So it said things like, we want the building to be an event in itself, so that when people walk in, even if there's no one in it, they get a sense of what we're about and who we are as a school community. And I said, well, I can understand that. And actually, when you start to look at designs, you can start to compare the building that you're maybe going to get to the statements that you've got here. So it's a set of criteria against which you can judge the designs that you're going to get. And I keep saying to schools that I work with, you know, these clever architects have done 7 years training so they can design a school. You don't need to design your own school, don't worry about that. But you know your own context. You know the kinds of learning that you want to take place, you know the kinds of ways that you want to communicate together, you know the kinds of ethos and culture that you've got in your school. You need to be able to explain those in a way which the architects can understand and go, oh yeah, and here's a series of solutions that might help you to meet those challenges that you're going to have in the future. So the more specific you can be, the better. And I think as well it's about looking at what works at the minute. I think a lot of schools that I work with tend to focus on the things that are wrong with their existing buildings, which is completely understandable. So they list me all the things that are wrong, and in an ideal world they put right. And I would say to them, yeah, but what's good about your school at the minute? You know, tell me what's fantastic about your school. And they can list me an equally long set of things there as well. And it's very important that you're able to capture those and take them into your new buildings or take them into your new situation, because you don't want those things to stop inadvertently because somehow the design inhibits them. So I always say, you know, focus on the good things as well as the things that are working less well. And I was working with one head teacher as well who had spent 5 years getting a new building up and running. And she said, the day I moved in, we all went, fantastic. We've got a great new school. She said, and then I suddenly realised that actually this is where the hard work starts. Because most buildings that are being created now, the brief says we want them to be flexible and adaptable. But you need to keep working at it to make sure those flexibilities and adaptabilities keep up to date with the things that you need the building to do over time. So you need to be constantly reviewing the building. And in that particular school, I was doing an evaluation where I said to the head, your staff room isn't working. And she said, yeah, it is. It's very vibrant, very exciting, great place. And I said, no, it's not. I went up there and it's like tumbleweeds are blowing through it. You know, there's nobody there. And I talked to the staff and they said, oh, it's too far away and we don't have enough bricks and we can never get there and blah, blah. And she said, no, it's a very vibrant place. Every time I go in, it's absolutely chock-a-block. And I said, well, when do you go in? And she said, well, I do my briefing every morning at 9:15. And I said, well, of course it's chock-a-block. Everyone's in there to hear you doing the briefing. So, you know, I think it's constantly being aware of your environment, what's working, what's not, asking a range of people and trying to find out actually if your perceptions match everyone else's, including the pupils in the school. I think getting out and looking at things is incredibly important. And I know many schools that are going through BSF are organising kind of architectural charabang tours around the country. You know, there's a lot of architectural tourism going on where schools are getting minibuses and going and seeing a range of other new buildings. And one deputy head I was working with had been to see something like 20 recently built schools in the country as he was preparing for his own school, which is fantastic. I mean, he's probably seen more than anyone else. But I just kind of wondered, you know, what's he looking at? And how much is it telling him? And what's he getting from this? Because as Stephen Heppel was saying earlier on, just looking at existing schools doesn't actually tell you about the possibilities that you could have in the future. So I always encourage schools to go and look at some of the fantastic higher education institutions that are around the country, which actually are much more interesting and flexible. To go and look at some of the fantastic libraries that we're getting around the country. Also external spaces, go and look at some of the great civic spaces we're having, go and look at shopping centres in terms of things like security and access arrangements. So, you know, look at a whole range of buildings, but understand why you're going to look at them. So, for example, we've led tours in the past around various cities that have gone to look specifically at safety and security in buildings, specifically to look at dining arrangements in certain types of buildings, you know, and going for a reason, not just going to go and look around and go, oh, that's nice, isn't it? Oh yeah, we'll have some of that and a bit of that. It just doesn't work like that at all. I think you need to be very critical and use your time very carefully. And speaking of using time carefully, I'm almost done, but I think the one thing I would say is that any school capital project is fantastic in that it creates a buzz and an excitement, and it gives a real opportunity to energise the school community, to inspire and excite them. I think as well, it's always a challenge, and there are enormous highs and enormous lows, and it always seems to take longer than anyone had ever anticipated when they started it. So I think the thing to be aware of is that you need to keep the inspiration going if it's going to be a long haul. And I think ICT is one way to do that. And some of the schools that I've been working with are very clear that if they can get some quick wins around ICT, if they can get good ICT in quickly, even if the building's going to take a while to change around them, that they can start to demonstrate to people how the future's going to be different. They can actually start to show that this is going to be great. And I think that's very important. And Kingsdale School in Southwark, which has been showing on the videos around here today, they did that. It took a very long time for their refurbishment to get started, let alone get underway, get almost finished. But one of the first things they did was create a very flexible ICT suite where they had an ICT science lab in it, for example, and a set of movable walls and very kind of interesting furniture. And that created an enormous excitement in the school. And they kind of understood that, yes, this was going to be worth it, even on the dark days when the diggers were plying away outside. So I think, you know, find ways to keep being inspired and excited through this. Thank you very much.